Welcome to the Ogletree Deacons Podcast, a quick digest of compelling legal issues and practical insights delivered to you in less than 20 minutes.
This is Danielle Oakes, co-chair of Ogletree's Technology Practice Group, also known as the Tech Place, where we provide labor and employment legal services to tech employers and users of technology in the workplace. On today's Tech Place Tickler, we're going to talk about some of the challenges involved in litigating employment claims in an environment where the parties are largely working from home. Today's focus will be on e-discovery. I have with me Treyer Cundiff and Tom Lidberry of our e-discovery group. They're going to help us spot the issues and the solutions. So we're going to go ahead and get started. Let me start with you, Tom. Do you have concerns about employees working from home and how that might impact e-discovery?
Yes and no. So some people will be working on their company-issued laptops and logging into the network and essentially functioning just like they were in the office. So data is going to be stored on the appropriate company locations on the network or their laptop. But others may not have a company-issued laptop or for other reasons maybe be using their home devices more than they might have done before this COVID-19 stuff. So there's a good chance that as we do collections in the coming months or longer, that we need to be more careful to check for data that may be stored, company data that may be stored off of the company systems on home computers, home email, or other devices that people have at home. This isn't a new risk. We've always had this problem. We always, as our standard process, we ask our key custodians if they have company data off of the company system somewhere. But we'll just need to be more vigilant about that, I think, post COVID-19.
So examples of places where people store data on devices already are things like cell phones, smartphones, tablets, that sort of thing. You already have challenges in that area. Are you thinking that the challenges will expand, into people's personal computers and that sort of thing?
Yeah, that's what we're thinking is that, some people who don't have a company issued laptop, as one example, there may be others I'm not thinking of, but more and more people may find a reason to use their personal computers for company business while they're trying to figure out how to work from home.
So can forensic collections be done remotely?
They can. It's difficult. There are bandwidth issues. See, we can't do very large collections across networks, and they can be slow and disruptive to the end users. But we are seeing more and more collections being done remotely as to the extent we can do them. And there are also issues about iPhones. We can't collect iPhones remotely anyway. That's an additional challenge to remote collections. So I think for the network, email and that sort of thing, it's still going to be the companies collecting by their IT resources and then sending us media. And that's just the way we're going to have to keep doing it. And that has been working reasonably well. We're still getting data from clients and we're still able to get it processed.
So Treyer, let me ask you, I understand there are concerns about data collection. And what about transfers of that data once it's collected?
This is a perennial issue. There are always logistical challenges of capturing and transferring data based on the ways companies configure their IT systems to provide tight security. Performing a remote collection can require additional steps on the organization side to open up access for a third-party vendor to enter the company's system and collect data, as multiple conversations and approvals need to be given to open things up. That can take time. It's important to anticipate that additional time on the front end so as to make it as efficient as we can and minimize the annoyance of the task for the client. But then on smaller collections, data can be transferred via SFTP, but similarly, it takes time to upload the data. And then on the receiving side, to download for processing into an e-discovery review platform. Both of these methods of transfer require increasingly taxed internet infrastructure, as so many people are working online and streaming data. The more data bandwidth being used, the greater likelihood the data transfers will be slowed or interrupted. For companies choosing not to perform those web-based collections or transfers, the other option is to put media on an encrypted drive and ship it to the e-discovery vendor for processing. And as we're all ordering more toilet paper and cleaning supplies or groceries online to avoid going to grocery stores, The same shippers that shipped your data are also shipping all of your neighbor's target orders, slowing down your encrypted drive from getting to your e-discovery vendor. And fortunately, we're not seeing this to have a large impact on our clients' data, but you know, the potential exists. But you know, for the most part, this tends not to be a significant issue, as our clients, vendors, and attorney teams are rarely all in the same locale. So we're used to a multiple location scenario when it comes to collection and transportation of data.
So do you foresee delays with host vendors along the lines of ingestion and processing times and times to produce data?
Yes, the vendors are struggling with the same problems we all are with remote workers and minimal staffing. So we are seeing some delays in processing data, but it's moving and we are able to get jobs done.
What can one expect in terms of delays? Are we talking about the difference between a couple of days or more like a week?
I think it's more in the matter of days. But Treyer, what's been our experience with you so far on that?
Yeah, you know, I would say it's really just a number, maybe a day or two. It's not causing a huge impact, at least not yet.
Excellent. What about data security? Treyer, do you have concerns about that? I can imagine. I mean, obviously, there's concerns about personal devices, you know, at home using, containing data that ultimately will be collected and the security of that data until it is collected. But what about other data security issues?
I mean, I think you're right to identify that as a risk. You know, review vendors have spent significant time and money to create a secure review center to prevent the data from unauthorized access, like a cyber attack, data breach, or from the theoretical rogue document review attorney. You know, unfortunately, with the explosion of business closure orders we've seen across the nation, review vendors have had to quickly pivot to a new environment where system security is not fully within their control. Many are trying to provide greater data security, such as providing thin clients or laptops with company security programs enabled. But it's a previously unforeseen issue that has necessitated on-the-fly problem solving to address concerns. You know, best practices are for the review vendor to notify the law firm to discuss the risks and how they could be addressed. And then the law firm notifies the client and seeks approval to proceed with their remote document review. Sometimes the client accepts the situation and proceeds, and others they don't, and you find a new solution. Unfortunately, right now, that new solution is typically law firm associates at about 10 times the cost of contract review, but with the firm stepped up data security.
Can our remote access portals even handle the kind of data transfer that we would typically be doing from, you know, a work-based portal?
You know, similar to the issues we identified with the web-based collection or data transfer, our e-discovery platforms are cloud-based with the potential for the same internet slowness. You know, we've seen some slowness and glitches, but for the most part, our platform has been unaffected. When we do see issues, we're typically able to troubleshoot them quickly and keep working. You know, we're fortunate to typically work with smaller review teams and to be using really cutting edge technology for our e-discovery review, which helps us work efficiently and keep costs down. But on a larger review with a lot of people performing that review, this issue could be exacerbated and cause tremendous slowness.
What about reviewing data? Can that be done efficiently? And what about reviewing teams? I mean, do you anticipate having difficulty identifying people to perform the review function in light of the closures?
You know, we've fortunately not seen a loss of available folks to work on reviews. They're used to sort of a sporadic work environment when it comes to performing document review. That's just sort of the nature of the work that they do. But, you know, we have, you know, existing relationships with reviewers that are willing, you know, and eager to come back and work with us on review. So that's not been a problem. In terms of, you know, reviewing data sort of more broadly, there's a theoretical potential that many people trying to access the same e-discovery review platforms may slow review, depending on people's access to high-speed internet, like we might ordinarily see in a review center or on-site at a law firm. You know, dispersing that team has the potential to slow down review speeds, but we're not seeing that currently. And, you know, all the top tier e-discovery review vendors are configured for large scale reviews. So it's likely that firms or companies using one of these vendors are unlikely to see much disruption. You know, there's a greater potential for slowdowns with companies that haven't quite scaled up their review platform, but they've already likely had stability issues.
Well, thanks so much for spending this time with us on this Tech Tickler. We'll see you in the Tech Place.
Thank you for joining us on the Ogletree Deacons podcast. You can subscribe to our podcasts on iTunes or through your favorite podcast service. And remember, the information in this podcast is for informational purposes only and is not to be construed as legal advice.